Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Under the Stained Glass. And we're actually under stained glass today, which is really special. So we're here just to, again, just to dig in a little bit deeper, maybe from a different angle, into our lesson that we had in church today. And I'm here with my partner, Ms. Whitney. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Pretty good. So we were looking at Matthew chapter 8 today. We're beginning a new series in church called Miracle Mile, where we're going to be continuing on with Jesus in this Galilean ministry, but looking at some of his miracles. And I'll just read a little bit, Whitney, from this chapter 8. It's verses 1 through 2. He says, "Well, he came down from the mountainside. Large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean.'" Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And I love that because it helps me open my mind to thinking about all of the ways that God is willing to do amazing miracles in our lives if we open up a little bit our definition of what's a miracle.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I was saying today it's a little bit like, are they always immediate and spectacular or are they incremental and just at a longer speed, you know? Yeah. The way that we look at what we think is a miracle can really just help us see life and obviously in a whole different kind of way. And I want to talk today about just how the family is the place where we start to cultivate that idea of what's a miracle, where's God working?
Yeah, in the families where we grow as Christians and really develop an understanding of how God moves in our lives. So by preaching our witness within the safe and really comfortable environment, whereas not in a place where you don't necessarily know everybody, but you know everybody, you sit, you're safe, you've grown up with them, we can help our families develop a miracle attitude. And as we hand down our faith, in a sense, because we can't actually give our own faith, but as we can establish that and help cultivate that in our families, we can emphasize the ways in which God moves in our lives and the way he strengthens and refines our faith.
Yeah, and we can even be cultivating things like gratitude and things like building up our faith together. Yeah. The family is really, in my mind, it's really the building block of the church. It's not like the other way around. It's like the family really makes the church. And it's the place where we begin to train each other, help each other, interpret the world in a theological way, interpret the world from God's point of view.
Sure.
And where we cultivate this idea of talking about God, of God talk, and having actually developing a language of faith within which then we begin to interpret the world around us. That's for us and for our kids. And of course, the more we teach our kids anything, the more we learn it, and we really become sharp at it.
Yeah.
So I think that just creating that place in the family where we're cultivating faith, an attitude of faith, is really, really super important.
Yeah.
It's an affirmation to the wider church too.
Oh, absolutely. It's not, you're not only building where you're at, you're going to be affecting others around you. So when you go to church and you bring your family and you show that faith that is really building in the young ones, even if you're the young one and you're bringing your whole entire family and you're building it in the older members of your family, you're really affirming with the church that this faith can move and change lives. And it has the incredible ability to invigorate the wider church and invigorate everybody there and also teach them new ways to worship, teach them what the future is going to look like when we worship and how we are going to teach that message. And it's really incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Families just create such energy in a church. It's like it's the fuel, really, that makes it all go. It also is the place where we socialize one another into the culture of the church and where we actually learn our faith. And that has a domino effect on our daily living, too. We have the family brings in this energy to the church. The church sends back this energy into the family where they're doing this kind of cross-pollination.
Sure.
And socializing one another into a Christian worldview that should hopefully really play out in our daily lives too. It's also a great place where we help one another in the family get an idea of what a miracle is, that it can really be a wide variety of things, and also to talk about where God is answering our prayers, where we really have cultivate a witness to our prayers being answered.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can I tell you a story?
Sure.
All right. When I was about 7 years old, I was going back to school from a Christmas break, and I didn't really want to go. But you can't really get out of it the first day that you're going back to school from a break. So I sat in my room, and I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray to God, and I'm going to say, please give me snow so I don't have to go back. I lived in a place that it never snowed. They hadn't had snow in 50 years, much less snow that would end school days. You know, it might have been something that's, you know, barely stuck to the ground, but not something that's going to close down schools and businesses. But I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And the next morning I woke up and we had a foot of snow.
That's snow.
And nobody was going to work. Nobody was going to school. And it was incredible. And it actually became family folklore because Whitney prayed for snow and God got all the glory for it because, of course, I ran out of my room at 7 years old and said, I prayed for snow and I got snow. And everybody's like, wow, this is incredible. And so it really does establish that faith in a family. But honestly, that might seem like an amazing thing that happens. That really doesn't happen every day. But it's not any more amazing than when you're praying for your child to come to faith and they walk in one day and they ask you about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to work and you are really worried about your safety on the roads because it is pretty scary. And you have a drive where there's no traffic at all. These are these incredible miracles that God gives us every single day that if we just open our eyes to see them, we would see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did that change your expectations about prayer?
It actually, yeah, probably a little bit for a while.
It must have.
Yeah.
But that's part of it too, is building up a real expectation of answered prayer and an expectation of miracles that are happening all around us all the time. And also just working out in the family, as we kind of do at church, but working out in the family, how we go about practicing those things, how we go about real daily intentional practice of those things.
Yeah, you have to establish a miracle attitude in order to see those things play out. And there are a number of ways to do this, from prayer journals, which you could use every night and then talk about it the next day, or make sure that your kids go back and if they see something happening, they can go write it in and say, okay, I prayed for this on this day, and it came true on this day, and it's incredible. Or God sightings around the dinner table, which is one of my favorite things. Where did you see God today?
Yeah.
Where has he been? And you get some incredible answers, honestly, from, you know, the birds to, wow, this really great thing happened. And even just remembering each other's prayers and acknowledging when they might not even see an answer to those prayers and those miracles happening, but you do. And just acknowledging that and the different ways that God works in our lives. And it can just really establish this idea that miracles do happen. They might not look like this big grand thing. Maybe in my case, it might not look like snow every time I pray, but it's there. And it's there every day as long as we're looking for it.
I love the God sighting thing because it takes God out of the theoretical and makes God's action in the world really concrete.
Absolutely.
And it's something that everybody can understand. So that's a really good one. So part of what we're doing in everything that we do is we try to cultivate a Christian lifestyle is kind of working against what is our Enlightenment prejudice against things like anything that's not scientific, anything that's not double blind provable or whatever those things are, that God really is working in the world and that God is beyond us and really is active in our lives. And that's a thing that we have to cultivate, to look at a world as being God-inspired and developing that miracle mindset that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's it for today. See you next week.